Thank you for listening to this sermon from Axe Christian Church. We hope you are blessed by the following message.
I want to share a message with you this morning, and I'm going to take you back in time. Most of us in Sunday school or children's church may have heard the story of Daniel in the lion's den. Am I right? Some of us have read the books. Some of us may have heard the story, but we were always intrigued by these stories of faith. So Daniel in the lion's den was one of my favorite children's church story. Why? Because it involved a lion, and I loved animals. And also, none of the lions were killed. And Daniel also wasn't killed. I was celebrating that as well, but also because none of the lions were killed. But as I picked up my devotion in 2 weeks ago, and I was reading through one of my devotions that spoke about Daniel in the lion's den, for the first time, I saw the story from a whole different perspective. We often read the narrative from the point of Daniel in the lion's den, okay? When we tell the story, we say Daniel in the lion's den. We speak about a single person named Daniel, who was a human being, in a den, a big den, full of lions, the plural form, lions. So if you look at the overall perspective, it appears as if Daniel was at a place of disadvantage in the den of many voracious lions. Hungry lions that were ready to pounce on him and destroy him. And most often, the person who would write the story, narrate it, and present the artwork would always present it from a point of Daniel cowering in the corner, afraid maybe, or maybe just praying all by himself, and all the lions looking vicious and scary on the sides, ready to attack him. And very often we will feel like pity towards Daniel because he's in a bit of a pickle and in a difficult situation here. But I want you to know that that's not how the story was. In as much as it may have appeared that way, and that's how the narrators may have narrated the story or created the impression, because they wanted us to see that Daniel was at a place of disadvantage and how God had come through for him and changed his circumstances from one of disadvantage to one of advantage. But I want you to know that from the beginning, Daniel was in a place of advantage. And even though many of us that are here today and we might be surrounded by many lions that want to attack us and pounce on us and destroy us, or we feel like there's so much going on around us and we might appear to sometimes be like we're in a den of lions, and we might feel like we're in a place of disadvantage and everything's going against us. But I want you to change your perspective today and understand that because you have Christ inside of you, you are at a place of advantage. You are able to change your circumstances if you learn to realize who you are and whose you are. Daniel had an excellent spirit, the Bible says. And what is an excellent spirit? An excellent spirit is one that is admirable. It is exceptional. It means that when a person has an excellent spirit, they are outstanding. They stand out from the rest of the crowd. They walk in integrity. They have a sense of honor, justice. They are a cut above the rest. And that's what it means to be a person of excellence. And when the Bible says that Daniel was a man of excellence, it says that he was all these things that I described and even more. And it is God's desire that every one of us that are seated here today, that we live a life of excellence, or adopt a spirit of excellence so that we might be known because of the Christ that is inside of us. Daniel chapter number 5 verses 12 to 14 says, "Inasmuch as an excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting of dreams, solving riddles, explaining enigmas were found in this Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called and be given the interpretation." Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, "Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you, that the Spirit of God is in you, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you." When I read this, I was so overwhelmed and so, you know, in awe of the fact that here was a king, a heathen king in Babylon, who was taking note of this Daniel who served the true and living God and was recognizing him as a person of excellent spirit, full of knowledge, full of understanding, who was able to interpret dreams, solve riddles, and explain enigmas, that even said to him, "It appears as if you have the Spirit of God inside of you. You have light and you have understanding and you have excellent wisdom." But the most important thing that stood out for me was when the king recognized that Daniel had the Spirit of God inside of him, the true living God. Here was a heathen king who did not even believe in the God that we believed in. Because of the excellence of Daniel's life, was able to identify something special about him, that he had the presence of God inside of him. Isn't that powerful? You see, when we as children of God live a life of excellence, even the world will not be able to deny the fact that we serve a true and a living God. We are meant to live a life of excellence so that the excellence inside of us will attract people to the true and living God. Now, this king was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. And we know the story of how Daniel was able to interpret the dream for King Nebuchadnezzar when all his wise men couldn't. And this is how Daniel became well known in this kingdom. Remember, Daniel was enslaved in this kingdom of Babylon. He was from Judah. The Bible says that Daniel, we all know the story of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and many other Jewish men that were taken out of Judah and brought to Babylon. They were enslaved. They were foreigners in this land. And we might sometimes look back at our past and we might say, "But I come from a place that nobody knows of. I'm here in a foreign land. I have everything going against me. I have nothing for me. I don't have any value. I have labels. I have so much that has gone wrong in my life, and everybody looks at me and judges me based on my past and where I've come from." And here was the same Daniel who came from a place where he was not recognized. He was brought into a foreign land, but that did not stop Daniel from rising up and saying, "I don't care where I've come from. I don't care whether I'm in a land where I might be oppressed, but I'm going to rise above my circumstances and be something, because I have the difference inside of me. I have the presence of God, whom the king even recognized. I have the Spirit of God inside of me, and that makes me all the better." You see, when we have the presence of God inside of us, we are not at a place of disadvantage. We are at a place of advantage. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter where you've come from. You might be in a place right now in an organization or a company where you might be thinking, "I don't have the qualifications. I don't have the educational background. I don't have what it takes." But I'm saying to you, it's because of who you are in Christ that's going to cause you to rise above. And Daniel knew who he was. He didn't let his circumstances dictate to him. He didn't let his past dictate to him. He was willing to rise above all of that and honor the great I Am, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, through his life. He lived a life of integrity. He did what was right and pleasing in the eyes of God, to the point where a report had come to the house of King Darius, when Darius was also plagued with a dream that nobody else could interpret. And Darius once again heard of Daniel. You see, when you walk in righteousness and you walk in integrity, your reputation will speak for you. Your reputation will cause you to be heard by people in great places. People will call you and say, "I've heard of you. I've heard of your integrity. I've heard of the manner in which you deal with business. I've heard of the manner in which you deal with people and the way you manage your affairs. You have been brought to me because you have a great reputation, and I have something in store for you." You see, when you live a life of holiness and a life of good repute, God will make a way for you to rise above. You will become the cream of the crop. Amen. Daniel lived a life of excellence and integrity. And I say to you, intelligence is not all. It's integrity. It is important. But integrity and excellence will attract people to us. Daniel's reputation made the king take note of him. Are people taking note of us? Or if people take note of us, is it for the right reason or for the wrong reasons? The king took note of Daniel because of his reputation. The king recognized that Daniel had the Spirit of God inside of him. When people look at us, do they see the Spirit of God inside of us? Do they celebrate Jesus because of our lives? Daniel had a reputation of having lights and understanding and wisdom, excellent wisdom, the Bible says. See, when we step into every dark situation, we might step into environments that are not conducive to the presence of God. But you see, when we have the light inside of us, we light up the environment we walk into. We become a light to a dying, dark world. God has called us to be the light. We shouldn't walk around saying, oh, I'm at a disadvantage. There's nothing more that I can do. You see, you are the light of the world. Daniel had the light. He had a brightness, something about him that made him stand out. He had a great countenance about him that made him stand out to be a cut above the rest. Daniel might have been a captive, now living in a foreign land, but that did not keep him from rising above his circumstances. So don't look at your excuses. Don't look at what you've gone through. Don't look at your past. Look to who you are in Christ Jesus. It's about time that you change your stance from a position of being disadvantaged to understanding that you are advantaged. There's no disadvantage in the presence of God. There's no disadvantage in the kingdom of God. We all have him inside of us, and that's all the difference we need. Amen. Amen. Daniel did not allow himself to be entrapped in insecurities of not fitting in. And sometimes we allow our insecurities, we allow what people have said about us, we allow all our past failures to tell us that we're not good enough, we're not capable, we will not make it, we will not account to anything. It's about time that we tell the devil he's a liar and that he needs to get behind me, for he will not prevail. You see, nothing stopped Daniel from standing out. And it's time that we as believers stand out from the rest of the crowd. Instead of pouting in our negative circumstances, put a smile on your face and recognize who you are. Daniel had the Spirit of God inside of him, and that's what made the difference. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have the presence of God inside of you. And that makes all the difference. In Daniel chapter number 6, verses 1 to 28, it's a long chapter, but I'm just going to do a bit of a narration. You see, here was Darius, and he had placed all these governors over the kingdom. The Bible refers to them as satraps. You see, sometimes satraps are like people that want to set traps. And they tried to set a trap for Daniel. And these satraps obviously realized that after Daniel had interpreted the dream for the king, that he received recognition and fame, and he became quite popular. And the king actually made him one of the chief governors over the satraps and said to Daniel, you'll take care of my affairs. And this Daniel became quite well known, because here was Daniel who came out of a background where he didn't have experience in this arena. But here he was now dealing with the king's affairs. Isn't that awesome? What made the difference here was Daniel knew who his God was. Daniel didn't have the experience. He didn't have the background. He didn't study this. He wasn't being groomed for this position as all the others had been. And they were in a place of supposed advantage. And Daniel might have been in a place of disadvantage, but because of his reputation, his spirit of excellence, that brought him to a place of advantage. So you might be thinking, I could be a Daniel. I don't have the experience. I don't have the background, but I have the presence of God inside of me. And that's what matters. And Daniel became well known, and he did great things, and he pleased the king. But you know what? In the world that we're living in, just because you do everything right and you're doing what's right in the eyes of man, right in the eyes of God, doesn't mean that you'll always attract good-natured people to you. It doesn't mean that you will go without attack. We know that. Sometimes the righteous of God suffer attack and accusation and judgment. And here was Daniel doing everything in his power to live a life of excellence, doing what was right in the eyes of God. But then the satraps and the governors became jealous and envious. And they started to talk amongst themselves and say, here's this man. He's a foreigner here. I mean, he was a slave from a foreign land, and he's in our land, and he has all the blessings and all the favor and the recognition of the king, and this is not acceptable. And let's go and try and find something against him that we can present to the king. And the Bible says that they went and they tried to find something against Daniel to question his integrity. In verse 3, it says this, Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because of an excellent spirit inside of him. When you have an excellent spirit inside of him, nothing can twist your arm to do what is evil, because you'll always desire to do what is right and acceptable in the eyes of God. And that became a thorn in the flesh to the satraps and the governors. And finally, when they could find no fault with this Daniel, they plotted and said, what can we find in him that we could use to bring some form of disrepute? And then they realized that this Daniel served a different God from King Darius. This Daniel served a different God. And they said, okay, we're going to use this against him. So they went to the king and they said to the king, King, won't you make a decree that for the next month, every person in the kingdom of Babylon must bow down to you or to the Babylonian God, and only that. And anyone who's caught not worshiping you or the Babylonian God must be thrown into a den of lions. So King Darius thought nothing of it. He didn't consider at that moment in time Daniel's life. So he gave the go-ahead and a decree was put in place. However, when Daniel had heard of this decree, the Bible says that Daniel went into his house. He had a double-story house. So he went upstairs. And this is what the Bible says. Go and read it. He opened up his window. Now, here was Daniel who heard the message that anyone who would worship any god beside the Babylonian god and the king will be put to death, who had just been given a death warrant, went to his house, went upstairs, opened the windows up where he would be more visible. He could have been downstairs where nobody would have seen him, close the windows. But this Daniel knew who his God was. You see, Daniel's name means God is my judge. And Daniel knew that man cannot judge what only God can judge. We often look to man and we become disappointed and discouraged when man judges us and places labels on us. But I'm saying to you, who cares about what the world thinks when God thinks the world of you? So Daniel didn't worry about being judged by the king because he realized the king wasn't big enough to judge him. Daniel wasn't concerned about the satraps and the governors that were coming against him because they were just small fry in this big picture. And Daniel publicly displayed his affection to his great God. And as he always did, he prayed to God 3 times a day in front of his window, openly and I'm sure loudly, to attract attention. That word went back to the king by the satrap saying, this Daniel, whom you have placed in charge of all the affairs of the Babylonian kingdom, has gone against the decree and he worships his God morning, noon, and night. And they said to the king, you have to do what you promised, because the laws of the Medes and Persians at that time was that if a king had to make a ruling, he cannot undo that ruling. And the king was plagued within himself when he heard that it was Daniel that had to be thrown into the lion's den. And it says that he was distraught within himself because he loved Daniel. And he tried to find a way to undo this whole decree. But after many, many hours not being able to, he came to the conclusion that this is what needs to happen. And when the governors and the satraps came to Daniel and said to Daniel, sorry, the satraps came to King Darius and said to King Darius, you have to fulfill what you promised. And then he gave the permission. He says, okay, go and do as you wish. And the king went up to Daniel just before he could be thrown in. He said to Daniel, Daniel, I know that this God that you serve will deliver you. Here was a heathen king once again recognizing the God inside of Daniel. You see, we have the power to influence the people around us through our lives and our lifestyle and our actions and our behavior. We often complain about the unbelievers out there that we are confronted by every day, and we say, oh, it's so hard. They make my life a task and difficult. How do I even minister to these people? How do I even convince them that Jesus is the way? There's an easy answer and a solution to that. Live Christ through your actions and your behavior and your attitude. And that will be the light that will draw those in darkness to you and to him. You don't need to go and preach a whole gospel to an unbeliever, but live the life. And there will come a time when they'll allow you to minister Christ to them. So Daniel's lifestyle attracted excellence. And the king said to him, Daniel, I know that your God will deliver you. But after Daniel had been thrown in the lion's den, the king for 24 hours went into a time of fasting. He couldn't even eat. He went without food. He was troubled within his spirit because here was his chief leader whom he loved and appreciated. In the back of his mind, he thought maybe he's going to die. Maybe that's going to be the end of Daniel. And the Bible says that he couldn't sleep while Daniel was placed in the lion's den and a large stone was placed around the entrance. We often see the image of a Daniel like the king, a weak Daniel against all odds. And sometimes, like the king, we become troubled within ourselves because we fail to see the great God in the midst of everything. Daniel was in the lion's den and he was surrounded by many lions. He could have looked at the lions and he could have become afraid. He could have looked at the circumstances and says, "This is the end for me." And when we are surrounded by lions in our lives, the Bible says that the devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The Bible does not say that Satan is a lion. It says he goes about like a roaring lion, meaning that he pretends to be what he is not. He inflates himself to create the impression that he's all that. Where I truly believe that the devil is a pussycat. He lacks claws and he lacks teeth. He comes across as if he is aggressive and he's about to destroy and take away. And we sometimes find ourselves in situations where we tend to exaggerate what we are going through. The lions in this den seem to be so big and voracious and ready to devour and destroy us. And we become afraid. And we get on our knees. And out of desperation, we give up. But it's time we get on our knees and start crying out to God and praying to Him and saying, "Father, in as much as everything seems to be at a position of disadvantage, I know that I am in a position of advantage because I have the Spirit of God inside of me." I don't think for a moment that Daniel felt intimidated. I don't think for a moment that he felt that everything was against him. Because you see, Daniel knew that God was his judge. He looked at his name and he says, "Only God can judge me. These lions cannot judge me. The enemy cannot judge me. The king cannot judge me. It is only God who can judge me. And I'd rather be judged by God than to be judged by man." And the king gets up early in the morning. While he didn't even get to sleep, the Bible says he was awake, he was troubled, and he goes out early hours of the morning to see the fate of Daniel. He could have come into this environment thinking, "Well, I might find myself watching something horrific." But he stood outside and he called out to Daniel, says, "Daniel, Daniel, has your God delivered you?" And he waited. And he heard the voice respond. A voice that said, "O king, long live the king. My God has delivered me." You see, when you cry out to God and you trust in Him and you believe in Him and you know who He is, He will deliver you out of the hands of your oppressors. Amen. And the king was so blessed and he was so excited that he asked for Daniel to be removed from the lion's den. And you know what became the fate of those who spoke against Daniel? The Bible says all those satraps, all those governors, including their wives and their children, were thrown into the lion's den. And the Bible describes it as this. It says, even before they could hit the ground, the lions had pounced on them, broken their bones, and destroyed them. See, not only did the king make a decision to destroy all those naysayers, but he says, "I want to destroy the naysayers and their legacy of negativity." That he destroyed everything that was connected to them, including their children. You see, we often want to fight our own battles. We go up against things that come against us. Sometimes we feel the world judges us unfairly and we want to take things into our own hands and we want to be able to fight back. We want to be able to defend ourselves. But the Bible says that God is our defender and our justifier. He will uphold us with His righteous right hand. See, Daniel knew who his God was. And we need to know who our God is. because God will always come through for us. So even at times when people speak against you, come against you, say negative things, call you out on things that you didn't do, hate you for no good reason, remember who you are in Christ and let God be your judge. And God will come to your defense and he will destroy the works of Satan. Satan has nothing on you. Satan has got nothing on you. God is everything for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? When we have the Spirit of God inside of us, we are distinguished. We are set apart from the people who don't have the presence of God. The Spirit of God attracts excellence. Excellence will bring promotion and favor. The presence of God will always set you apart from the rest. We cannot truly confess that we have the presence of God dwelling inside of us if we still behave as the world does. The presence of God will make us walk in integrity and in honor and give us a sense of justice to stand up for those that don't have a voice. Be a defender of those that are weak. The presence of God will make us bright and shine like lights, that even when we enter into dark places, the brightness of God will cause every dark situation to be exposed. Even in the darkest of days, the light of God will make us shine brightly. And that's the presence of God. You see, doing what's right in the eyes of God will not always attract popularity. But then again, we need to come to terms with the fact that as Christians, we are not here to live a life of popularity. Am I right? Daniel's favor with the king and his promotion caused jealousy and stirred up much in the hearts of the governors. And sometimes when God opens the door and brings breakthrough your way, not everyone's going to come alongside you and celebrate you and shake your hand and tap you on the back and say, well done, I'm so excited for you. There might be those that will come and say those things, but in the back of their mind, they have evil thoughts against you. As believers, we too will encounter naysayers and cynics when favor comes our way. Be prepared for snubbing. Be prepared for negative comments. Be prepared for gossip and slander. Not everyone will celebrate your success and your promotion. If Daniel, who was a man of righteousness, pure of heart, had enemies, don't you think that our good reputation will also cause us to have enemies at times? Daniel's reputation was unquestionable, yet the governors were still able to find a divisive plan against him. Remember, Satan wants to trap us because he's not satisfied with the choice that we have made to follow Jesus. And he wants to do everything in his power to cause disruption in our faith. He is divisive, always looking out for a trap, looking out for a way. But if we remain faithful in the midst of our trials, God will always come through for us. Isaiah 41 verses 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." So I believe I'm speaking to somebody here today. And God is coming to your defense. He's coming to help you with his righteous right hand. He's going to expose the darkness and he's going to push back every attack that's come your way. Because he loves you and you need to stand your ground. Daniel maintained integrity in the midst of his calamity. Daniel would not deny God even if his life depended on it. And you see, what made the difference was Daniel was confident of his faith in God. In the midst of what we're going through, get on your knees. Cry out to God. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. Do not be ashamed to cry out, to pray to him, to worship him, to honor him. Even if you got everything going against you. In times of testing and trials, remain strong, remain faithful. Press on through the pain. Press on through the rejection. Press on through the hurt, the offenses. Press on through all that is coming against you. Stand your ground in faith. God is coming to your rescue. You see, some of the hungry lions that we might be surrounded by might be the hungry lions of debt that seem to be destroying our joy. Maybe it's the hungry lions of depression and suicide. Maybe it's the hungry lions of failed relationships, past issues, insecurities, anger, unforgiveness, fear, and failure. Maybe they're hungry lions of sickness and disease. Maybe hungry lions of lust and addiction. Whatever those hungry lions that might be surrounding you that appear intimidated, remember, the enemy goes about like a roaring lion. He is not a roaring lion. The only lion that I know that has all power, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is all powerful. We can either choose to look at the hungry lions that appear to be lions around us that want to devour us, or we can look to the Lion of the tribe of Judah who is coming to our rescue. He is full of power, full of dominion, full of strength. He is the all-conquering Lion. And when he roars with authority. When he roars with power. And everything above and below the earth will bow at the name of Jesus. You see, Daniel could either look at his circumstances and focus on the lions that seemed intimidating. But I do believe that Daniel went on his knees and he looked up and he looked to the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Who are we looking to in the midst of our troubles? When we give recognition to Satan, he becomes our obstacle. But when we give recognition to the great I Am, he becomes our solution. And God is your solution. Look to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, not your circumstances. It's time that we shift our focus. It's about time that we do not look to what might appear as a place of disadvantage, but rather see it as a challenge and an opportunity for an advantage. God is about to send an angel to shut the mouth of the lion and to deliver us from our enemies. Will you bow your heads and stand to your feet today? As I conclude, I want to share with you something important, that in the midst of whatever we're going through, never allow what we go through to deter us from living a life of integrity and holiness. Never allow naysayers and critics to hold us back from walking in excellence. Always embrace every challenge with a positive attitude, and then watch God use you. Whatever was intended for evil, God will turn around for good. We all know the story of David and Goliath. And most people think, well, it was Samuel that anointed David to become king. And that was true. But you see, the challenge that David had to face had made him the king. In my opinion, it was Goliath that made David the king. Because had David not confronted his Goliath, he would not have received the recognition for being somebody great. Facing your Goliaths are going to take you to a whole new level. Do not fear what stands before you. It might be the challenge that you need to take you to your place of breakthrough. Take your focus off your circumstances and place it on the great I Am. God is about to shift you. Maybe your enemies are inadvertently helping you to get to your place of promotion. See, because you have the Spirit of God inside of you, you have been set apart. So it's time that we live our lives set apart. Your testing is a setup for your testimony this morning. And I want to leave you with this. God is truly your defender and your justifier. Look to Him. Daniel knew who his judge was. Do you know who your true judge is? So, Father, I come before your throne of grace today. And I stand here before your people. And I know, God, that sometimes we forget that you are the righteous judge. And we tend to want to fight our own battles and do things our own way. Sometimes we want to defend ourselves when evil has been done against us. But as a church, we repent for not putting our faith and trust in you and relying on you completely. As you came to Daniel's rescue, Father, we ask that you would come to our rescue. Even though we might be confronted by so much that comes against us in our daily life, may we be the light of this world, standing out, set apart, walking in excellence, living a life of integrity, so that you might be glorified through our lives and our actions. So, Father, we bless our church today. We bless our families. We thank you, God, for the spirit of excellence that is upon every one of us. We thank you, God, that we are highly favored. It doesn't matter where we've come from. It doesn't matter what our past and our backgrounds might have been like. But we are truly in a place of advantage because we have you inside of us. For the presence of God dwells inside of us. We thank you for your presence this morning, and we honor you with our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.